The Lesson in Dying, written by Anne Cleves and read by Simon Mattox. The moral right of the author has been asserted. Chapter 1. At one time, you could see 15 working mines from Heppelburn Churchyard. Now the nearest pit was miles away to the north beyond the horizon, and only the chimneys of Blythe Power Station spoilt the impression of rural beauty. To the east, farmland sloped down to the sea, the clean sweep of ploughed fields broken by the wooded valley which followed the burn to the coast and the houses of Heppelburn Village. The sea was blue, almost purple. The tower of the old St. Mary's Island lighthouse was clear and white in the sunshine. Jack Robson put a bunch of chrysanthemums on his wife's grave. He had come with flowers every week since she had died 2 years before. The school and the church stood together on the hill, and as he straightened, he heard children singing, "We plough the fields and scatter." The Northumberland voices shortened the consonants and lightened the vowels. Jack Robson had sung the same hymn in exactly the same way more than 50 years before in Heppelburn School. He thought he'd wasted his time there. It seemed to him now that he'd been a dull and unimaginative boy. There had been no dreams, no ambition. It had never occurred to him that he might move away from southeast Northumberland, and during national service he thought of nothing but coming home. People said that the mind grew slower as it got older, but he thought his brain was sharper now than it had ever been. With his retirement from the pit, he'd begun to read voraciously, as some children do, and became immersed, especially in history and biography. He found he could understand what he read, that he even occasionally had the courage to disagree with the opinions expressed. The new confidence was noticed by other people. He'd been a habitual member of the local Labour Party for years. His father had been a great activist, and it was expected. More recently, he'd been asked to stand for the local council. And now, as Councillor Robson, he represented Heppelburn on Heppel Valley District Council. He was especially respected by his younger colleagues for his open-mindedness and his willingness to accept innovation. But he spoke in meetings of the old morality, the old principles, in a way that stirred them all. "Why do you bother with the job at the school?" one of the younger men asked, implying, despite his politics, that manual labour was something to be ashamed of. Robson shrugged. He could have said that he needed the money, which was true enough, but there was more to it than that. He liked the children, and feeling part of a team. He was a school governor, but he had more contact with the children through his work. Besides, what else could he do? He looked at his watch and began to walk through the churchyard towards the school. In the distance, a tractor was ploughing a newly harvested field with immaculate furrows, followed by a cloud of white gulls. The children had stopped singing. The school bell rang, and as he reached the gate, the pupils began to run into the playground on their way home. He waited to wave to his grandchildren, then went in. He was the school caretaker. It was a job that suited him, despite the headmaster. He knew there would be a parents' association meeting that evening, and began to set out tables and chairs in the hall. Lily, the cleaner, arrived on her bicycle, and they shared a joke and a gossip while they worked. At 5 o'clock, he left and walked down the hill to the red brick council house where he'd lived since he was first married. The Parents' Association meeting took place on the Friday before the Blackberry Week half-term. Jack Robson's daughter was there, and the Halloween party discussed by the meeting was her idea. Like all her ideas, it was formed on the spur of the moment and ill thought through. "You're mad," her husband said later that evening when she got home and told him about it. "I thought you were fed up with the Parents' Association, and now you've landed yourself a job like this."
"It might be fun," Patty said, still excited because her idea had been agreed by the headmaster, her head still full of plans.
"I'm surprised Medburn agreed."
"So am I," she said.
"You only took it on because you're bored," Jim said. "You should get a job."
He was right. With the children both at school, she'd been restless for months. She'd even nagged her husband about moving somewhere a bit more stylish, perhaps to Morpeth or on the coast. But Jim knew she would never leave Heppelburn. Besides, he said, how could they afford to move on a teacher's salary? If she wanted a change, she could go back to work. His mother would mind the bands when they came out of school. Patty recognised the sense of his suggestion, but knew she would not be satisfied with working as a clerk at the gas board again, and realised she was qualified for nothing else. At 18, she